doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello and welcome to the Circling the Bases podcast from NBC Sports Edge. This is our weekly MLB Power Rankings show where we break down my weekly MLB Power Rankings column that goes up on NBC Sports Edge every Tuesday. We're recording this late Monday night just to add some context for listeners as we throw out various notes and observations on teams and players. I'm Drew Silva. Joining me here and every week throughout the regular season is Janice Scurio. Welcome in, Janice. I start every show by asking you what you're looking forward to around the baseball world in the coming week. Just a little over 1 month to go in the 2021 regular season schedule. These games and series get more and more meaningful. I guess games and series in April are just as meaningful, but it feels like these are more meaningful. Yeah. So what you got?
No, it's hard to believe that, yeah, we've only got 1 month left into the regular season. So everything is meaningful. Yeah, absolutely everything.
This feels like the longest and shortest year ever. And I would say the same about 2020.
Anyway, the thing that I'm looking forward to this week, part of it actually already happened. So the Yankees and Braves were both on 9-game winning streaks, entering their game today against each other, today being Monday. So according to Elias Sports, it was the third game in MLB history in which both teams entered on 9-game winning streaks, or better. It's also the first time since 1901. I feel like a lot of firsts have been happening since like the early 1900s in 2021, which is cool. So both teams are on a tear right now, but we'll definitely get into that in a little bit. So in tonight's game, spoiler alert, the Braves actually have their winning streak shattered, but that means that the Yankees have now won 10 in a row. So Jordan Montgomery gave 5 strong innings, and we also saw another great appearance out of the bullpen by Jonathan Loaisiga. So anyway, I'm really looking forward to the rest of the series.
Yeah, Loaisiga's been incredible. They went what, 2 innings, struck out 4 of like the 8 batters he faced. I don't know, those like Mariano Rivera comparisons that people drew early on seemed kind of crazy. It seemed like just typical Yankees fandom, but he's got some sick pitches, man, and he's going to be a power reliever for them for a long time, or maybe even they try him as a starter again. But I kind of like him right now in his like fireman role, come in and put out fires when they've got, you know, traffic on the base paths, or even open an inning and just shut it down.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
So, yeah, we'll get into both of those teams. Actually, the focus this week is a lot of contenders, and that wasn't really on purpose, but we're just seeing a lot of movement in the teams that are relevant and not so much in the teams that are irrelevant. Like, I can't push those teams any lower than they already are. This has definitely become a very have and have not kind of league this year and over the last few years. But before we continue, here's a special offer for our listeners. Use promo code BASES10 for 10% off any premium subscription to NBC Sports Edge Plus. It can be either monthly or annual, and for any tier. Not only do you get access to the baseball season tools as we head down the stretch here, but your subscription also covers NBA, NHL, NFL content. Those guys are pumping out great content right now. So it's a really good value and can help you if you play just baseball or if you have your hand in all sports. So remember, that's promo code BASES10. You can go to NBCSportsEdge.com/premium to get started. And the app is back and available. Don't forget to download the NBC Sports Edge app to receive real-time player news, mobile alerts, track your favorite players or your fantasy rosters. You can also now check out articles and player cards on there. Apple App Store, Google Play, wherever you download your apps. All right, let's get to the rankings. We'll touch on all the teams in the top five and then discuss the three biggest risers and three biggest fallers from last week to this week. If you want rankings and individual observations on all 30 teams, look for the column every Tuesday at NBC Sports Edge. Usually goes up late morning, early afternoon. Let's do this. The top five.
All right, the top five. So at number one, holding strong, the San Francisco Giants. So one player I'd like to highlight is Logan Webb, who pitched yesterday on Sunday. He struck out 7 Athletics over 6 innings of one-run ball. He's posted a 1.63 ERA over his last 12 starts, and the Giants went 11-1 over that span. So he's also held opponents to 2 runs or fewer in all 12 of those outings. So Fangraphs say that the Giants have 100% chance of making the playoffs, and they're likely going to win the NL West. When it comes to your rankings, though, is anyone dethroning the Giants anytime soon?
I don't know. I mean, the Dodgers are threatening, and we'll get into them next because, spoiler alert, they're number two. But once I put the Giants up there, man, I say this every week, but I think it's like 14 weeks ago now. I just haven't been able to drop them. They continue to hold the best record in baseball. They're now 15-5 in August, having taken 4 of 6 from the Mets and Athletics last week. This could wind up actually being the Giants' most successful month so far, which is, you know, I don't know, like kind of a direct shot to all those experts who said they'd fade. I guess I was one of those people too. 16-10 in April. They went 18-10 in May, 16-9 in June, 15-10 in July, now 15-5 in August. So yeah, they just have to win 4 of their remaining 8 games this month to make it their best month to date, which again is incredible for the people that thought this was just a fluke. First team to reach 80 wins this year. I saw this stat earlier on Twitter and just stole it. The Giants now have 80 plus wins in their first 140 games for just the second time since moving to San Francisco from New York in 1958. Yeah, I think we would both agree that they have had better rosters than this, or at least like bigger stars, certainly. But it's been such a team-wide effort, veterans turning back the clock, younger players emerging. You mentioned Logan Webb. He's been incredible, especially recently, given up just 12 earned runs total across his last 12 starts. And like you mentioned, the Giants are 11-1 in those 12 games. So the Giants are at the top for yet another week, kind of waiting to see them stumble, but it just hasn't happened yet. It's a very well put together roster, and hats off to Farhan Zaidi, the president of the club there, and manager Gabe Kapler too. They're all doing an excellent job managing those various pieces and getting career years out of guys like Brandon Crawford and Buster Posey to some extent even too. Like, I don't know if it's a career year for him, but the way he's bounced back after sitting out all of last year, Evan Longoria, I know he's back on the injured list. I believe that's just a COVID health protocol thing after a COVID booster shot. But, it's been incredible to watch, and I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to pull off the NLS title, and we'll see what happens in the postseason. They certainly have the pitching and the lineup depth to be a pretty dangerous threat come October.
That's a nice segue to your number two pick, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, they're only 2.5 games back of the Giants. Definitely feasible to perhaps catch them. Maybe they have the momentum to take the division. Interestingly enough, when I was putting my notes together, Fangraphs has the Dodgers' chances of winning the World Series at 21.5%. And that's currently the highest of any other team, which I thought was interesting. They did have their 9-game winning streak snapped yesterday. They lost to the Mets yesterday on Sunday. Do you think that the Dodgers could possibly overtake the Giants for the division?
Yeah, I was on this betting podcast last Wednesday, and they asked me that, and it kind of made me pause and sure, yeah. I mean, it's very possible. This is a really good Dodgers team that hasn't even really been healthy altogether at the same time. And even as the Giants keep winning series, like you mentioned, the Dodgers have managed to close the gap quite a bit, currently 2.5 games back of San Francisco for first place in the National League West standings, like you mentioned. They've won 9 of their last 10, 13 of their last 15, on a roll right now, and it looks like they're going to get some big pieces off the injured list this week. Julio Urias is set to return from his calf issue to start Tuesday's series opener at San Diego. That'll be a must-watch series. And then Mookie Betts possibly as early as Thursday if he gets through a couple of simulated games without issue. I know one was scheduled for Monday, another Tuesday, then they're going to give him the day off Wednesday, and if he feels okay on Thursday, they're going to activate him. This hip issue has been frustrating for Betts and for Dodgers fans and fantasy managers, but when he's been healthy, Mookie has batted .389 with an .1188 OPS, 7 home runs, 15 RBIs, and 20 runs scored in 18 games played since the beginning of July. Obviously, some IL stints mixed in there. So the production, has been there for, even as Betts has been battling this lingering hip discomfort. And hopefully this latest stint on the IL, which went a little longer than the previous one, will allow him to put it all behind him and be at full strength come October. And you think about that lineup with Betts back in, Trey Turner, Betts, maybe 1-2, then Max Muncy, Corey Seager, Justin Turner, Will Smith, Cody Bellinger. Bellinger obviously has had a pretty rough year, but we know that he can get it going in a flash and that he comes up with big hits every postseason. So we'll probably see that again. Here come the defending champs. They're the defending champs for a reason, and they're the World Series favorite for a reason, too.
At number three, the Tampa Bay Rays. So I'll be mentioning just Fangraphs probabilities a lot. But
we should. Yeah, we should do that the rest of the way.
Yeah, 61% chance, 61.8% chance of winning the AL East. They took 2 out of 3 from the White Sox over the weekend, and they've been able to continue all this momentum without Tyler Glass now. It's also his birthday today. Anyway, in this past series, Wander Franco finished 2-for-5 with an RBI double, and he extended his on-base streak to 24 games. That's currently the longest active streak in the majors, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, swept a 4-game series from the Orioles to begin last week's slate. And then, like you mentioned, took 2 of 3 from the White Sox. Sunday's game was a 9-0 rout that featured Chris Archer making his first start since early April. Archer only went 2 innings before his hip began acting up, but that's believed to be a minor issue. And Archer did post those 2 scoreless frames when he was out there, striking out 4 of the 8 batters he faced. I don't know if this is going to be a turn back the clock type of thing for Archer. He's had all sorts of physical issues, but if he can just eat some innings down the stretch to help out the Rays sort of patchwork rotation, I think they'll take that. Nelson Cruz is on the COVID injured list, but is expected to return on Tuesday. And then you mentioned Wander Franco, man, he's been lighting it up right now and suddenly looking just a whole lot more comfortable following all the initial hype being baseball's top prospect. And he had that great MLB debut on the night of June 22nd, then kind of fell into a slump. But it looks like the game has really slowed down for him. I know that's a cliche, but I really can tell that, I believe. Since July 30th, his batting .329 with a .973 OPS, 12 extra base hits, 19 RBIs, and 21 runs scored over his last 20 games. And you mentioned the 24-game on base streak. Brandon Lau is on a heater too, Austin Meadows. Randy Arozarena, it looked at one point that Adolis Garcia of the Rangers would probably run away with American League Rookie of the Year, but Garcia's been pretty dreadful for going on 2 months now, and Arozarena is the current betting favorite, at least. That would be a nice reward for his strong second half this year and what he did in legitimately guiding the offense to the World Series last year. It's kind of crazy to think that Arozarena is still a rookie with how he came on, how he became a household name in the playoffs last season. Can Arozarena and the Rays pull off that kind of magical run again? We'll see. I don't know. I scratch my head sometimes when I look at that rotation and think that this is the team leading the AL East and the team I'm putting at number three in my power rankings, and I've even had them higher. But Rays magic, man. Don't doubt it.
Right. At number four, the Milwaukee Brewers climbing up one spot. So the Brewers have so much star power now that Giannis Antetokounmpo even wants in on the action. I thought it was interesting that the Brewers have an 11% chance of winning the World Series. They've got the third highest run differential in the National League at plus 117. So they've had a couple of great returns off the injured list. Adrian Hauser was definitely impressive. Aaron Ashby looked fantastic in his first relief appearance as well. Christian Yelich, too, definitely looking like shades of his 2018 self when he won the NL MVP. And yeah, if he's seeing the ball better, then the league better find a prayer.
Yeah. The Brewers jumped into the top five last week, now into my top four. After winning 4-6 against the Cardinals and Nationals, the Brewers are 14-6 in August, 7.5 games up on the Reds for first place in the National League Central as we record here on Monday night. I meant to check that. I think the Reds were off tonight. Yeah, still 7.5. And we talked about Yelich last week on this show, how it hadn't been a banner year for him. So, Janice, let's now take full credit for waking up that bat.
It was all me single-handedly.
Yeah.
I told him to start seeing the ball better. Yeah.
Well done. Yeah. Well, he had one home run in 145 plate appearances since June 26 before going deep twice as part of a six RBI game on Saturday against the Nationals. That was in a 9-6 win. Yelich then added another two hits and an RBI on Sunday, part of a 7-3 victory. His season OPS rose from 728 to 759 in the span of 2 days this weekend. Still not at his elite levels when he was, like, you know, one of the top overall fantasy picks. But if this is the start of a hot streak for Yelich, combined with some of the creative moves the Brewers have made to add offense, plus that elite pitching staff, they're all the more dangerous come October. And I like them as a betting favorite to win the World Series even. Freddie Peralta is currently on the IL with right shoulder inflammation, but I'm hoping or guessing that's like a Carlos Rodon situation where they really just wanted to stunt his workload a bit. Peralta has a 2.45 ERA, 0.94 whip, 164 strikeouts through 121 and a third innings this season after logging only 29 and a third major league innings in 2021. Excellent year so far for Peralta, but he could probably use some time off, and hopefully that's what this is. His opponent's batting average is 150, which leads all major league starters by far. Josh Hader, Devin Williams, Brad Boxberger have all dominated right now, or all dominating right now in the bullpen. Such a well-crafted team for a postseason series, especially those five-game division series where you only really need three pitchers usually. And it's safe to say the Brewers are most definitely headed for at least a division series. That's what you get for winning the National League Central, and they're definitely going to win the National League Central, I would say.
Definitely. They're one of my favorites to go far.
Yeah.
So at number five, another powerhouse, the Houston Astros, falling one spot, but they did take the weekend series from the Mariners. They've got the second highest run differential at plus 184. Someone who's been pretty lights out for them, Kendall Graveman. He's been doing very well, just as well as he was doing for Seattle. So he's had scoreless outings in six of his seven appearances since he was traded. He's only allowed five hits and has a 32.2% strikeout rate. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they lost three of four to the Royals to begin last week's slate, which was part of a four-game losing streak, the Astros' longest losing streak since June, but like you mentioned, bounced back to take two of three from the Mariners over the weekend and open play on Monday with a 3.5 game lead over the A's for first place in the American League West standings. Alex Bregman finally resumed his minor league rehab assignment Sunday at AAA Sugarland after essentially two full weeks away from live competition. It sounds like Bregman could be activated sometime this week. There was a report that it might happen on Monday, but it did not. Bregman has been out since mid-June because of a strained quad and then some subsequent hamstring issues. And the Astros haven't offered a whole lot of clarity as to why this is taking so long, but he does appear to be on the right track now, I suppose. Maybe he's activated Tuesday. Maybe it's Wednesday. I don't know. It's hard to tell at this point. But Jose Urquidy began a minor league rehab assignment last Thursday in the Florida Complex League, struck out six batters while allowing just one hit over three scoreless innings. He'll do at least one more start on the farm, and then they can talk about moving him back into the rotation. Urquidy has been out since late June with a shoulder issue, so that would be a big addition. Kyle Tucker as well. He's expected back from COVID protocols on Tuesday. So the Astros drop a spot this week, but they're getting healthier and should be able to run away with the AL West down the stretch, at least in my view.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now you can get gas like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gaslight power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Right, so that's your top five. Let's go ahead and gravitate towards your biggest risers for the week. So number seven, we promised you earlier that we'd talk about this team, the New York Yankees. So like I mentioned before, they're currently on a 10-game winning streak right now. So this series with the Braves is pretty important. They've got a 62.2% chance of getting a wild card spot, which may be more in the scope of what's feasible. The Rays may have a stronghold on the division, but since July 6th, the Yankees' 31-11 record is the best in the majors, and they've also won each of their past nine series.
Yeah, we mentioned the winning streak ran to 10 on Monday night in Atlanta with a 5-1 victory. They're 18-4 in August, and you mentioned the best record of baseball since the All-Star break, or even going back to July 6th, I believe you said. Yeah, I really loved their trade deadline moves, adding some left-handed power in Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo, which ties into Luke Voit, who stood up for himself a week ago or a week or two ago when he asked about possibly having a limited role with the arrival of Rizzo. And he told reporters he felt like he deserved to play every day, you know, having led all major leaguers in home runs last year. Granted, it was only a 60-game season. I kind of enjoyed that Voit didn't give the usual whatever's good for the team answer there. And he's put his money where his mouth is, if that line applies to this situation. Over his last seven games, Voit has 13 hits, three home runs, and 13 RBIs. Was just named player of the week for August 16th to 22nd. Working mostly out of the DH spot, some first base mixed in, which, you know, has prompted manager Aaron Boone to play Giancarlo Stanton in right field more. I guess that's being termed the beefy boys lineup. Beefy boys with a Z, of course.
Because why not?
Yeah, because why not? Those are some huge dudes. Like last Thursday, it was Voit at leadoff and DH, Rizzo batting second and playing first base, and then Aaron Judge, Joey Gallo, Giancarlo Stanton as the 3-5 hitters covering the outfield. I don't know. The Yankees have it working right now, running away with the top American League wilds. Card spot and even putting some pressure on the Rays for the American League East title. And Judge, Gallo, and Stanton are, for how big they are, they're also very athletic. None of those guys is a poor outfielder. Stanton being healthy right now, I think he's perfectly capable of playing more corner outfield the rest of the way. If you want to get Voit and Rizzo in the lineup altogether, that's the way to do it.
Right. Our next big riser of the week, spoiler alert, at number 10, the Atlanta Braves. Now, they could potentially increase their lead over the Phillies this week, but there are so many things clicking for the Braves lately. So Jorge Soler, Freddie Freeman, Max Fried were some of my guys who appeared in my Week That Was column that came out yesterday. So, they had their ninth straight win on Sunday. They swept a three-city road trip. They defeated the Nationals, the Marlins, and the Orioles in nine games. It seems like a lot of things are clicking for the Braves. They're not all cylinders. Like I mentioned before, this rest of the series with the Yankees should be an interesting one to watch.
Yep. Braves jumping into the top 10 here, I think for the first time since probably the first or second week of the season. I should go back and look at my rankings from April, but maybe I'll be scared of what I see. I would assume the Braves were at least top 10 coming off three consecutive National League East championships and the NLCS, appearing in the NLCS last year. It took the Braves so long to even crack the 500 mark this season, but here they are now, 17-4 record dating back to July 31st. The aforementioned nine-game winning streak, which was only just snapped before we hopped on to record here on Monday night. The Braves began the month of August four games back of first place in the National League East standings and are now 4.5 games up on first place with probably the most well-rounded roster in that division. Even after losing Ronald Acuna Jr. and Marcell Ozuna and Mike Soroka, you mentioned the way they've kind of reshaped their outfield at the trade deadline, and that infield is clicking all together right now. This is notable, though, and you said it before, Atlanta's nine-game winning streak came against the Orioles, Nationals, and Marlins. It was on the road, but those teams are a combined 87 games under 500. Their next eight games, or next seven now, having lost the series opener to the Yankees, are against the Yankees, Giants, and Dodgers, who are a combined 88 games over 500. So playing some real teams now. We'll see if they can keep it going. But I do like them to finish as the NL East champs again for the fourth straight year.
They've got some work cut out for them for the next week, it seems.
They do.
All right, let's look at your next big riser of the week, the Cincinnati Reds, climbing two spots from number 13 to number 11. So Fangraphs has the Reds nabbing a wild card spot with the probability being at 61%. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They swept the Marlins over the weekend. They've got a huge set with the Brewers starting tomorrow. If they do make the playoffs, do they have the potential to go very far?
I don't know.
A difficult question, I know.
It is a difficult question, and the playoffs are kind of a crapshoot, and they have enough bats and enough pitching to maybe do it. I worry a little bit about the bullpen, but they've kind of remade that bullpen too. Yeah, a couple of Reds fans reached out to me and said they felt like they should have been ranked above the Braves last week, which I did consider, but I guess I feel a little justified in not doing that now that Atlanta had an unbeaten week last week. But both teams have been on a similar rise out of like the mediocrity that you find between spots like 13 through 20 in these rankings, really rising above the fray. Cincinnati did lose 2 of 3 to the Cubs to open last week's slate before rebounding for a sweep in a four-game set against the Marlins. Will bring a four-game winning streak in the Tuesday night series opener at Milwaukee. Like you mentioned, a huge series there for the NL Central picture and the NL wildcard picture. The Reds have jumped over the Padres for sole possession of the number two spot in those wildcard standings. Got there on Sunday thanks to a brilliant outing from Vladimir Gutierrez, who struck out eight batters over seven innings of one-run ball, gave up only a walk and three hits. Gutierrez is now the first Reds pitcher to go six straight starts of six-plus innings while allowing two runs or fewer since Matt Latos in 2013. There's a blast from the past kind of name.
That's a name I have not heard in a long time.
Yeah, Jesse, he kind of fell off pretty quickly. Didn't he have a cat named like Cat Latos?
Cat Latos, yeah. Yes, he did.
Gotta respect that. Jesse Winker's probably going to be out at least another week with that intercostal strain he suffered earlier this month. The initial hope that it would only be like a 10-day IL stint, but the aim seems to be early September for Winker. He appeared on some NL MVP odds betting boards at one point when Fernando Tatis Jr. was out again with the shoulder, having a huge breakout year, Winker, that is, after showing a lot of promise during the shortened 2020 campaign. Tyler Naquin was named NL Player of the Week after going 13-for-26 with four home runs, a triple, three doubles, and seven games between August 16th through 22nd. That was the first career Player of the Week award for Naquin. That's all I got on the Reds. I don't know. I don't know what to believe if they're really going to be like a dangerous October team. They got to get through the wild card game first. Like, I don't think there's a path for them to chase down the Brewers. So that's a tough hill to climb.
Right. Speaking of tough hills to climb, we are going to go to your biggest fallers of the week. So at number 12, the San Diego Padres falling out of the top 10. So their odds of making the playoffs seem to be dwindling every day. So they just fired their pitching coach, Larry Rothschild. Also, too, this is the team that was expecting Jake Arrieta to fill some big shoes as well. So Padres pitching has been nothing short of atrocious. They've got a 6.20 ERA and own MLB's 10th highest ERA since the All-Star break at 4.83. So is the finger pointing justified here?
I don't. It's not the kind of move you typically see from a contending team in late August. He's certainly a scapegoat for this. Manager Jace Tingler told the media that he called for this move a couple weeks ago. Maybe they weren't getting along or had some philosophical differences or just felt like they needed a new voice in the room, something like that. And then finally after, you turned to Jake Arrieta last week at Colorado. That means you're desperate for pitching, and they watched him surrender 5 earned runs over just 3 1/3 innings before leaving with a hamstring strain in a game that San Diego lost 7-5. They're now 8-11 in August after also suffering through a losing month in July. And if the postseason started today, the Padres would not be in the mix. Just crazy how much they've faded. And yeah, I mean, a lot of it has to do with poor pitching. When coming into the year, I would have put their pitching depth up near anyone. Up there, at least like with the Dodgers or even perhaps above them. But Yu Darvish, Chris Paddock, Denelson Lamet, all currently on the injured list. Arrieta now too, if he counts. Mike Clevenger, Adrian Marrone, Tommy John cases. We noted a few weeks ago on this very podcast that the Reds had by far the easier schedule of these two teams the rest of the way. And it's kind of playing out like we discussed. And there's still time left, but the offense needs to carry the Padres right now. And is that too much of a load to shoulder? Kind of seeing that with the Red Sox at times over the last month or so, where the offense can't really get you there. You need some pitching too. And I don't know. It looks to me like the Padres could be in real trouble when it comes to cracking the postseason this year. And that's going to be a big letdown if they don't.
All right. So your next big faller at number 13, the Toronto Blue Jays. So they're 4-7 in their last 11. I just updated that literally just now to include tonight's win over the White Sox. But the wild card is perhaps the only thing within question for the Blue Jays, since the AL East is pretty much spoken for. So as of Monday morning, when I looked all of this up, they're 4.5 games back of the Red Sox and the A's for that second wild card spot. But they're also a game and a half behind the Mariners. But so perhaps in order for the Blue Jays to actually be successful, to make a run for the wild card, it seems as if they're relying more on someone else to perhaps fall on their faces.
Yeah, that's the problem. And entering their series opener against your White Sox on Monday night, they had lost 7 of their last 9 games against the Tigers, Nationals, Mariners, and Angels, which is obviously not ideal, that group of teams. And the Blue Jays put together a very encouraging stretch between late July and early to mid-August. That's how they climbed near the top 10 of these rankings. And yeah, but now the playoff picture is just entirely too cloudy. 11 games back of the Rays for first place in the AL East, I believe, right now. And you mentioned 4.5 games behind the Red Sox and A's for the second AL wildcard spot. Yankees hold the first one, and then they'd also have to leapfrog the Mariners there. The bullpen struggles continue for Toronto. Rafael Dolis got DFA'd last week after seeing some save chances in the early part of this season. I mean, the Blue Jays offense is number one overall among all 30 major league teams in combined OPS, and the rotation does not look horrible right now. I know Ross Stripling is hurt, but Jose Berrios, Robbie Ray, Hyunjin Ryu, Alek Manoah was really good on Monday. Steven Matz has kind of been up and down. But yeah, inconsistency and ugly relief pitching is the story here. And the inability for George Springer to stay healthy too. He's back on the IL with a knee sprain this time. Kevin Biggio is also on the IL. He's been bad when active. It seems like they're just going to keep him at AAA Buffalo until he gets it going a bit. There's enough talent around the Blue Jays roster that they could maybe pull off some magic in September, but with what all the hurdles they're going to have to clear, that they're going to need some teams to really crater. I'm tempted to just stick a fork in them, and I need to use that like fork in spaghetti emoji for my column. And list that alongside the team names as we go along throughout the year. Or we could do that on the podcast too, have like a fork list or maybe a toast emoji or a toast list. Ideas for next season. Anyway, we could talk about it.
I was going to suggest more so the barbecue grill emoji.
Barbecue, that's perfect.
To suggest like, oh, hey, they're cooked. Because, I think I use that adjective to describe the next team on your list, the New York Mets. So yet another spot from
17. Speaking of toast,
to 18. They might be toast. They grilled. Might be a well-done steak, perhaps overcooked a little bit, but their playoff odds have been reduced to 5.3%. To add insult to injury, they've also got a pretty difficult series ahead of them as they're facing the Giants this week. Yeah. And they keep on falling. So is there any hope for the Mets left?
I don't know. They've lost 8 of their last 10 to drop 7 games back in both the National League East and the National League wild card races with 38 games to play. So, no, I would say there's not a lot of hope left. And your weekly Jacob deGrom update, he was transferred to the 60-day injured list on Friday, which means that he won't be eligible to return before mid-September. Not that he's been making much progress anyway from that elbow/forearm inflammation. I'm sure the Mets would like to see deGrom make a start or two down the stretch. Maybe he'll get one or two starts over what remains of the regular season. Javier Baez did return from the injured list on Sunday and hit an RBI double in his first plate appearance in 12 days as the Mets beat the Dodgers. But I don't know. To me, that was just a reminder that they gave up their first round pick from 2020 outfield prospect Pete Crow Armstrong to acquire Baez at the deadline, and how that trade might look going forward, especially with Baez staring down free agency this winter. And Mets owner Steve Cohen doesn't like players who don't have a good plate approach, so I'm not sure why he okayed the trade for Baez in the first place. Like, if you read his tweets, it was fun when Steve Cohen was tweeting when the Mets were leading the division for so many weeks and months. It was a long time when they held the top spot in the NL East and should have been able to run away with it, but it's not so funny now. And the Mets are going to Met, and they sure are Metsing here at the end of the 2021 season.
Oh, yeah. Cue the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme.
Oh, we can't clear that. We don't have the money for that. All right. That'll do it for this week's Power Rankings show. Thanks for tuning in. Check out the Power Rankings column. Goes up every Tuesday on NBC Sports Edge, usually around noon Eastern, sometimes a little after, sometimes a little earlier. Rankings and observations on all 30 teams. Rate and review the Circling the Bases podcast. We love 5 stars, but any feedback is welcome. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Drew Silve, and Janice is at Scuriosa. And peace out.
Peace.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.